facebook.com/KPFT. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFT Houston. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston.
The unruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch means it's Thursday, 10 p.m., and time for So What's Your Story, the coolest place on your dial because it's the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling right here on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, Professor of Communication at the University of Houston Downtown, along with our indispensable guest relations rep, Shannon McKerchie. First of all, thank you to Andy Goss for filling in for me last week, and thank you, Shannon, for doing what you do best, which is helping our guests feel comfortable, and it certainly worked because Chris Jackson was spectacular telling his stories. If you missed Chris's back-to-school tales about a sneakers and lunchbox, you can catch them on the KPFT archives. Chris was one of my many former students who treated us to their signature styles, styles as appealing as the lives they represent. Nicholas Negron didn't even think of himself as a storyteller a few months ago, but received the kind of feedback that slammed the door on that misperception. Nick is originally from New Brunswick, New Jersey, moved around quite a bit and graduated from Kingwood High School in 2008. He's currently a senior at the University of Houston Downtown, graduating in interdisciplinary studies, which is short for Get Me Out of Here Fast, and he's poised to graduate in December of 2015. Nick, I'm glad you're here. How you doing tonight?
I'm happy
to
be here.
You're excited. You've done radio before. You're a star already. Isn't that right?
Something like that. I had a small radio station when I was at Sacred Heart, or small radio program when I was at Sacred Heart.
Yeah. And what'd you do on there?
We played electronica and dance music. It was a guy who ended up being my roommate and I.
Very good. Excellent. Remind me and the world of what you might want to do with your interdisciplinary studies, or don't you know?
Just curious.
I'd like to know that people have guidance in life.
For the immediate future, I'm going into trucking and logistics. I'm entering the family business, TXN Logistics, and I will be going through a 2-year training program, learning all facets of the business and of the industry.
Fabulous. Let's talk a little bit about how you feel about storytelling, Nick. Yeah, Chris Jackson, one of your classmates, you remember him,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you didn't come to class much, so I'm just checking. Only kidding. Yeah,
thanks.
Giving you a hard time. Yeah. Chris Jackson, one of your classmates from that course, has been on the show a couple of times, along with Liz Campbell and other classmates, and they both told fabulous stories. Now, I asked them the same question I'd like to ask you. What really is the most important thing that you learned from that course?
The most important thing I learned was to just keep exploring. That was the most fun I had. And I would coming up with an idea and just taking it further and further and further until you extract everything that you came up with and you come out with a beautiful product.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I do, because it really is the art of discovery. It is. You know, when you sequence things and you have episodes in your life and you're able to validate your life in a very real, very emotional way and make sense out of the world, it really is a discovery, a very important discovery. Your interest in storytelling seemed to unfold as that course progressed, and because that's relatively common in the way that many people become interested in telling stories, I want to explore that just a little bit further in just a few minutes. But how would you characterize your own style of telling?
My own style of telling is a little brusque, but I try to capture a side of things that normally either people wouldn't think about or yeah, we'll go with think about.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
Well, you know, I think your first story, Love on the Battlefield, not to be confused with Pat Benatar's Love is a Battlefield, characterizes this style that you're depicting pretty well, I think. And it's about the first time that you met your girlfriend, who's sitting right in front of us. Tell everybody her name.
Her name is Tara Dane Walbridge.
All right, very good. And she's ready for this. It better be good, right? And you use a fusion of innovative imagery to paint a unique picture. And I think listeners are going to know what I mean after they enjoy your narrative, meaning that they're going to understand your style a little bit more. Tell us your story.
Well, my girlfriend once boasted to me that she and her sister had a short conversation about what their significant others said about them the first time they met. And while her sister's soon-to-be husband boasted her beauty and professed that one day I'm going to marry that girl, my wonderful girlfriend turned to her sister and said, "Nick said, why is she with him?" And take that as you will because of how things ended up, but that got me thinking, and especially now because she and I are out in public and we're being serious and we're meeting new people. People ask us a lot, how did you meet? And there are two ways of telling the story. There's the first way, very cut and dry, all the facts. We met on an Amcard field while live action role playing, and it was her first day. And after a riveting day of beating each other senseless with foam weapons, we exchanged pleasantries. But there's a side to live-action role-playing that people don't often see, and I'd like to paint that picture.
Please do.
It was a Saturday on Sunfall Abbey, and the sun was bright, and the park was strewn with warriors and monks and assassins, all with the same goal in mind. After five lives, who is the last man standing? So I was living with some avid amp guarders at the time, and I had my own pants, which I made. I had my upper garb, which had been made for me with purple and blacks and whites. I was using a polearm, which is a big bamboo shaft, padded, of course. And I was going at it and having fun. And it was indeed an all-out brawl because people have swords and shields and staffs and all this kind of stuff, and there are certain rules. But all in all, we're out there for the fight. And little did I know there was a tiny girl coming to the field who would change my life. And like most tiny girls who came to the Ampguard field, she was accompanied by, let's call them, an attachment. And we on the field saw a tiny girl, saw the guy that brought her. We knew the guy, we didn't know the girl, so we thought she would do what most girls do, which is sit on the sidelines and cheer. But this in particular girl, grabbed a couple of swords and ran onto the field with us. So I am out with my staff, and I'm ducking shots, I'm dodging blows, I'm throwing in my stick where it counts, and I see this guy who is a knight, and he's very revealed on the field, and my first day there, he gave me my first weapon. So I think, I'm going to go up against this guy, and I start going at it with him. I see a good opportunity where I can take him down, and here's where I have to note, a body shot is a kill. So I go in for the shot, and then all of a sudden I feel tap, tap, right on my back. I'm out. Son of a gun, who did that? I turn around and tiny girl with two swords is running away giggling. And this happened again and again and again. And she took four out of my five lives, just coming up out of nowhere, popping me in the back and walking away giggling. In her bare feet of all things. So my last life, I spend just running around trying to get this girl, but I'm a big dude with a big stick. I'm not as quick as tiny girl with two swords. So game ends. I'm with my friends. I point over to that girl. I'm like, "Hey, who is that?" And they say, "Oh, that's Hufgar's girlfriend." And which came about the saying, "Why is she with him?" And so immediately after thinking that, I walk over and introduce myself. "Hi, my name is Paradox." She says, "Hi, my name is Insidity." And there you have it.
Wow. Explain something to me. What kind of sensation do you get from playing this game? In York Peppermint Patty, it's feel the sensation. Ooh, ooh. But it's peppermint. Explain to me what you get from this video game. What is the sensation? You're running for your life. You have X amount of lives. You think you're a cat, apparently.
I was a monk.
A monk.
With a big stick.
All right, very good. Yeah, yeah.
And you feel good because it, in its basis form, you are running around, so it is some sort of exercise. You're using all your muscles because you're not only trying to hit people, you're very desperately trying not to get hit. And there's, in the moment, you're kind of angry. You're letting all those passions get out of you. But afterwards, you feel great. There's a big release.
How did you know that your girlfriend to be was as interested in you as you were in her? Everybody wants to know this.
Quite frankly,
well,
I didn't.
I do. We'll just let everybody else listen.
Quite frankly, I didn't know that she was that interested until a couple weeks later when she had lost the attachment and came over to my apartment to just to get away from the college environment. And we were having a get together, and in she came.
Excellent. The theme tonight is the attachment, apparently. I'm Hank Rubinchek with Shannon McKerchy, and you are listening to guest storyteller Nick Negron on the Always Live, So What's Your Story? Only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston, or KPFT if you're listening online, but whatever avenue you've traveled to get here, I am glad that you are here. Our guest next week is going to be professional Texas teller Larry Thompson with some Texas lore that you're not going to want to miss. His resume is extensive, ranging from outdoor festivals, teacher workshops, performances at national conferences, awards galore, and affiliations with influential organizations such as the National Storytelling Network, the San Antonio Storytellers Association, the American Society for Training and Development, and the Tejas Storytelling Association, to which he is currently the president. And Larry won't be going anywhere after the show because he's sticking around to perform one of his unforgettable concerts on Saturday, August 29th. Shannon, would you be kind enough to tell us the essential information about Larry's concert?
Of course, Hank. An evening of storytelling for children and adults alike featuring Larry as well as our own Sheila Starks Phillips and Sally Goodrow. And that's going to be Saturday, August the 29th from 5 to 7 p.m. at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church. And that is 1819 Heights Boulevard. And it's $10 for a family or $5 for individuals.
Right. Very good. And $15 if you're looking for a family. You can actually find one there. We have several just, roaming on in. Very good. Thanks, Shannon. Larry's concert is sponsored by the same great group that sponsors this program, the Houston Storytellers Guild, of which Shannon and I are proud members. The Guild meets the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Multi-Service Center at 1475 West Gray. Check out their impressive site at www.houstonstorytellers.org for events, fun happenings, and a lot more. And please visit our So What's Your Story Facebook page, and you're going to find some terrific information, photos, and more posted by Shannon every week. Tell us what we're going to find.
Well, first of all, you're of course going to find information about our fabulous guests every week, upcoming storytelling events, and articles such as 5 Reasons to Use Storytelling in Sponsored Content, How the Power of Storytelling Can Change Lives in Children Welfare Cases, as well as Storytelling Giving Gives Refugees Teens a Voice in Their Communities.
Yeah, and I appreciate the titles too, Shannon, because some people don't think that storytelling is anything more than, hey, isn't this about Little Red Riding Hood? Seriously.
Yeah, storytelling, it impacts everyday life.
Yeah, it is. It really does affect everyday life. And several times on this show, and I know that we talked about this in class, we always tout the fact that everybody's a natural storyteller. We have events in our lives that have to be shared, and they're personal, and they're real, and they validate our lives in every conceivable way. And whether you're telling a folk tale, a fable, a legend, or a personal narrative, stories are great ways of engaging and embracing those around you. They're important. They're critical. They have therapeutic purposes. They have great, great, great value to
and
those
who feel.
And they're
helpful in everyday careers.
They
and
are
different
very
lives.
Helpful in everyday career. Different yeah, you show me a person who's successful, I'll show you somebody with a story. Because you've got to have some evidence of success, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to. And like us on the way out, too, because I think you're going to love the kind of work that Shannon does to that Facebook. Also, if you have any questions about storytelling, program ideas, if you'd like to be a guest on this show or recommend someone else as a guest, please send me an email at drhank@kpft.org, and I will get back to you. Nick, I mentioned earlier that you seem to become increasingly interested in storytelling as the semester unfolded, so much so that you plan to tell a story at The Moth. Right? Remember that one?
I do.
Do you have a thought about what triggered your interest in storytelling to begin with? What was the profound thing that I said? What was the incredibly inspirational moment that I offered you that made you say, this is it? I mean, not only is this clearly the most brilliant man I've ever met, but there's something about the subject matter that rocks. What was the moment that told you all of that, Nick, not to put words or thoughts in your mind?
The moment I thought that was the first time I got the grading sheet back from the class.
And that C minus worked for you.
That A plus worked great for me, thank you kindly.
You did a great job. But you really were told that, hey, maybe I've got some skill sets here.
Well, it wasn't just having the skill set, and it was the length and the detail that you put into the grading and into the feedback that really captivated me and made me want to go further, because I thought if I can make him say all of this, then what can I do the next time?
Well, I appreciate that. I do very, very much. You know, talking to people about the really good things that they do is something that we all can do, but we don't take the time to do it, because when we think about criticism, it's the negative stuff that just comes too easily for us. It just comes too easily. And I appreciate that remark. I do. And I remember that I had encouraged you or gave you an idea of going to The Moth, and you wanted to do that. And I know that you were prepared for The Moth, and you were disappointed when you weren't selected. It's always a crapshoot. Yeah, Shannon goes every month, and it's always a crapshoot because depending on the number of folks who put their names in the teller sack, so to speak, you just don't know. But the theme for that night was hair, and because this is So What's Your Story, on listener-sponsored Community Center KPFT, you have the opportunity right now, right now on this shoe, following Topo Gigio, that's Ed Sullivan for those of you boomers out there. You have no idea what I'm doing.
But, not at all.
But people over the age of 94 do, so take my word for it. Okay, right now to talk hair. You're going to talk about your story about hair.
Yeah, take
this
that,
is your
Moth.
Premiere. So brush aside rejection and get ready to comb your skills. Spin your yarn about hair. Rapunzel?
Well, my second year at Stephen F. Austin State University started off interestingly. Over the summer, I had ended a relationship with a girl who I had dated the entirety of the year before, and long story short, it didn't work out. So, during the summer, I was getting over her. I still had not gotten over her by the time the school year rolled back around, and I had to see her. She had some stuff over at my apartment, so on and so forth. And so, one night, I said to myself, I got to get myself out of this funk. I got to do something to change. I got to have some sort of big change in my life. And so with a belly full of liquor, I walked over to my friend's house and I said, give me a mohawk. And I do not regret that decision in the slightest, as crazy as it sounds. I had wanted a mohawk since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. And when I saw Rufio the first time from the Robin Williams movie Hook, and I had confidence, I was happy, everything was going really, really well. And eventually that confidence led to me asking this girl, who I was clearly not over, back out. Which, thinking back on it now, was a terrible idea, but I did it anyway. But eventually time came for me to shave off the mohawk. I was in the theater program at the time. I was playing a character from Schoolhouse Rock who none of them had mohawks. So off it came. Eventually my hair started to grow back. But the peculiar thing about that was it didn't grow back in its entirety. I had bald spots and patches missing from my head. And as my hair got longer, it just looked stranger. And I eventually went to the doctor, and they said I have alopecia areata, which is a medical term for baldness in an area, which tells you how much they know about it. So, after a few months of going to doctors and getting stuck with syringes in my head to get this fixed and dealt with, it still wasn't really coming back in its entirety. In the spots that did grow back, another spot would appear. So eventually I got over my alopecia areata. I finally got over it around the same time that the relationship that didn't work the first time, guess what, didn't work again. So I later found out that the reason that it wasn't working between she and I was because she was seeing a couple of other people behind my back. And what I pulled away from that is my hair knew something before I did. And it was trying to tell me, hey, something isn't working, you need a change. So the moral of the story is always trust your hair.
Always trust your hair. Yay! Shannon, you were there that night, weren't you? The night of the
Not hair night.
Oh, God, you weren't here for hair night. You were washing your hair or something.
I think I must have had my birthday week, and I was like, ugh.
Oh, hair, gosh. Yeah.
But I do love hair. Hair is personality.
I'm glad you do. I don't have any, but I understand it's really a nice thing. It's a nice thing. Now, when I was a kid growing up, everybody really put Brill Cream on their hair. You have no idea what I'm talking. I'm not sure they even sell Brill Cream. Brill Cream was a lot like Crisco. It wasn't a gel. It was a cream. It was a really greasy cream. You could cook with it if you were out of Crisco.
Okay.
That was the nice thing about Brill Cream. But, you know, and the jingle was Brill Cream, a little dab will do ya. But we put a lot of dabs on because it was just that kind of thing. And that's how we did with our hair. We just put Brill Cream on our hair every day, a lot like Alfalfa from The Little Rascals, who had the little spike. Yeah, you could have a spike with virtually no hair. That stuff was so incredibly greasy. So this is a hair story. You have to trust your hair.
Mm-hmm.
You have to trust your hair. Okay. You have a favorite color hair?
Brunette, because I am a brunette with luscious locks.
Let me teach you something. You should look over to your girlfriend, who is right in that window there.
Let me just finish this,
because this is a really important thing for you to listen to. You need to look over and say, well, the only hair that would be of any interest to me is the hair that is on the most beautiful woman God ever created, who's about 8 feet away from me right now. Do I have to teach you guys everything?
Yes.
That's what you have to say. So it doesn't make any difference what your favorite hair color is. You look to the person you love, and you make clear to the world that that's the color hair that you love. Now do that for me. You're an acting student. Go ahead. I'll give you another chance.
While at one time brunette may have been my favorite, my heart has been ever captivated by the blonde,
good,
beautiful, amazing woman that is sitting just beyond the glass.
Nice. Okay.
And staring at me.
Okay, good. That's a little better. You are listening to Guest Teller and something else, artist. You could just fill in the blank. Nick Negron on So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. I showed the film. All the questions are important to me, but this one is one that I've always wanted to ask you. Ever since the end of class, I showed the film Finding Neverland. Shannon, did you ever see that film, Finding Neverland?
I have.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Wasn't Kate Winslet in that?
No, it was a great one. Yeah, but I showed the film, and it starred, for those of you who haven't seen it, it stars Johnny Depp playing the role of Peter Pan's creator, James Berry, and I don't want to embarrass you, I really don't, but you cried at the end of the film, and you uttered, "That was beautiful."
Because she dies.
Yeah, I know.
It was dramatic and passionate. And I have to admit, I wasn't just crying at the end of it. I was crying for a good 15 minutes while watching that film because of the... Oh, cheese and crackers, what's the word? The catharsis that you have of watching this journey of a boy who has no imagination going to grow an imagination, and taking these children through what otherwise would be a very painful journey and turning it into something beautiful and and something happy.
Yeah, it is. It really is a beautiful story, and I show that. I have a few films from which I choose, but that movie is a great film about storytelling. It genuinely is. For those of you who've seen it, you know why. And for those of you who haven't, there are so many wonderful, wonderful symbols in there. As Shannon pointed out, yes, the Wendy character, if you will, dies at the end, and that is very, very sad. And she goes to Neverland, both symbolically and literally. But it's the first film, and here's a piece of historical interest to Shannon and the rest of the world, and that is, it was the very first film that made clear that children and adults are inextricably related to each other when it comes to the imagination. Because if you remember, the notion is that children could not attend the theater in London. There were doctors, there were lawyers, there were professors, there were business people, there were people who had to be really in the higher echelon. And James Barry made it possible for the 25 orphans to go to see Peter Pan, and he scattered them throughout the theater. And they were very pivotal in allowing the adults to see the magic in Peter Pan. The whole notion that it's a bad thing to grow up is actually manifesting in the theater at the time. Mm-hmm. Now, that may not be a very profound thought, I understand, but it's an important one because it's one of those things that really do demonstrate how fantasies work in our lives and why they're so very significant. You know, Orson Welles said about style, style is knowing who you are, what you want to say, and not giving a damn. Well, you do give a damn, Nick, but forget about that part. But you sure do know who you are and what you want to say, and I think you say it beautifully in narrative form. I think it's been a real pleasure. I want to thank you for joining us and all that other sort of stuff. And I think we have a little bit of a treat coming up in just a moment to kind of get us off the beaten path of our usual theme song. Any shout-outs in the meantime? Anybody want to say hello to?
I'd like to say hello to my parents, who I'm very happy that they are listening this evening.
Yeah.
I'd like to give a shout-out to my coworkers at TXN Logistics. Mm-hmm. And thank you very much for listening in as well.
Right.
And I would like to give a shout-out to the lovely woman who is sitting across the glass from me and decided to come with me tonight.
That is beautiful. That is so beautiful. And we're going to dedicate this song to her. Shannon? Scooter is up next with the Inner Side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. We want you to make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Thursday at 10 for So What's Your Story? And ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story, and I'm going to keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. Until next week, I'm Dr. Hank reminding you, it is never too late to live happily ever after. Now won't you give me down to there? Half shoulder length longer. Half here, baby, there, mama. Everywhere, daddy, daddy. Half. Grow it, show it. Long as I can grow it, my half.
The summer sizzle fun drive is over, but the needs of your Pacifica radio station still go on. KPFT and Electro Love Radio Show are having a fundraiser November 7th at Last Concert Cafe. Electro Love Fest will have bands from Houston and Austin, and we're looking for supporters interested in the great perks sponsors will receive. For information on how individuals, artists, professionals, social groups, and businesses can enjoy the benefits of sponsoring, call Robin Lewis at 713-526-4000, extension 315. She'll be happy to help you, and we want to thank Houston for keeping us on the air for 45 years. We hope to see you there.